the amazing, the absolutely great Janis Joplin and Half Moon. Halfway through the 7 o'clock hour, we find ourselves directly at the bottom of it right now at 7:30. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Coming up during the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be talking to our mayor, Bob Whalen, who steps back into office today. So Janis Joplin there, when she passed, the initial report was that it was suicide, and then eventually accidental suicide with a combination of heroin and alcohol. And then the final autopsy result was that she was just, she had tripped on her heel, got caught on carpet, and caused her head to smash into something, and she bled out. So final cause, that was it. Not a purposeful suicide or even accidental suicide by too many drugs, just an accident that happened while being too high and drunk. And yesterday we learned the news of Twitch. If you don't know who Twitch is, it's Stephen Twitch Boss. He was the DJ for Ellen DeGeneres. Just when you saw him on any show, Ellen DeGeneres or the So You Think You Can Dance show, which he was, became a permanent judge on. He went on as a dancer and then became a permanent judge on. Whenever you saw him anywhere, you saw what appeared to be an incredibly happy human being all the time. All the time. Dead at 40 from suicide. So it brings up the opportunity. It's a horrible tragedy, but it brings up the opportunity for us to speak about what may be the most important thing this holiday. You know, forget recipes for muffins for a while and forget about where you get the best holiday deals for a while. This is what's important during the holidays, and that's that someone around you, someone in your circle, a friend, a relative, someone you love, might be suffering from some mental health issues, and it's important to recognize what those might be. So, suicide is the leading cause of death among kids and adults, but spotting risk factors and warning signs isn't easy. It's really not. Nearly 46,000 people in the United States died by suicide in 2020, which is about one death every 11 minutes. This is according to the CDC. Worldwide, nearly 800,000 people die from suicide yearly. And last year, there were 1.2 million attempts globally. So researchers still haven't nailed down how to better predict who's at risk for attempting suicide and whether vulnerable people will do it. It's extremely difficult to predict those things. You can look back in time when someone's made an attempt or they've died and go, oh, all these things that were going on in their life, I should have known. The difficulty is that a lot of people handle or experience those type of stressors, but never go on and attempt suicide. So you have people that experience that and don't attempt it. Additionally, there isn't always a long time frame where someone is considering suicide and showing signs of it. There can be as little as 5 to 15 minutes in between someone deciding to attempt suicide and doing it. We had someone in studio a couple of years back, and I should replay this for the content value of it, who said that within a 5 minute span he had decided to take his life, and then eventually jumped from the San Francisco Bay Bridge, survived the jump. So what we collectively understand, it's this emotional dysregulation and cognitive error that occurs. They can't fix a situation and they can't think their way through the situation. So suicide becomes a viable option as a way to manage that pain that they're in. So they might take action on it in that really short, brief window, sometimes as short as just a couple of minutes. But there might be some situations where a person who is suicidal and planning for a longer period of time, who's planning this and they plan it out for a longer period of time, they might show some behavioral changes. If you're noticing that kind of stuff, obviously that is someone who's really close to being at imminent risk, someone who's really close to making that decision to end their life. But I would argue that most people don't get that kind of warning. I don't think that that's That's the shock of the suicide. You don't get that kind of warning most of the time. By the way, right now, if you think that you or someone you know is at risk, there are trained counselors with the 24/7 National Suicide Prevention Lifeline that can help you work through any signs that you're experiencing or seeing. And to increase its accessibility, every state, including California, began rolling out 988 as the new lifeline. They did this back in July. So 988 is a lifeline number you can use. The previous number, which still you can always use it, is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. That'll always remain available to people in emotional distress or suicidal crisis. So some of the most common behavioral, verbal, and emotional signs and risk factors you should pay attention to, some of the warning signs of suicide. Some people might seem like their usual selves in the weeks or days leading up to a suicide attempt, while others might show those behavioral changes that don't track with what you know about them. Those can include practicing or preparing for suicide, which could look like exhibiting unusual behaviors with guns or pills or potentially other lethal items. Other behavioral red flags include giving away cherished belongings, sleeping too much or too little, withdrawing or isolating oneself, or showing rage or desire to enact revenge, and acting anxious or agitated. Those are some of the signs to look for. Getting really intoxicated one night or driving recklessly might also be signs to watch out for. And I know that there's a lot of holiday partying going on, but these are things under the surface you kind of have to look for in your friends and family. That kind of behavior might be them testing themselves to see if they can actually do it. So a lot of times people need to kind of work up that actual making an attempt, because it's a biologic thing you have to go against. It's your own survival. So they test it. Also look for concerning comments, talking about wanting to die by suicide or otherwise. That's always a huge sign right there. Some people might say that they feel they've got no reason to live. If someone is struggling to come up with a reason for living, that's a much higher risk person than someone who's even able to identify one reason. You know, if they can identify one, okay. But if someone is bent on the fact that they have no reason for living, that's a huge sign right there. Others talk about feeling like a burden on those who are close to them, or like they don't belong anywhere or with anyone. Those comments might include things like, you don't need me for this anymore, or I feel like I'd be better if I just wasn't here. I feel like everything would be better if I just wasn't here. Those kind of comments. Teenagers considering suicide might not want their guardians to use their money for college. Also, looking for mood or risk factors, distressing situations or genetics can increase the likelihood of someone considering attempting or dying by suicide. Hopelessness is a risk factor. You always look for hopelessness. They don't have a sense of the future getting any better. Extreme mood swings, obsession with death or lethal means, you know, a sudden obsession with these things. Look for the warning signs. And this isn't the only time we'll talk about this over the next several weeks. We will cover this again, but look for the warning signs. And I'll say it again. If you or someone you know is at risk, there are trained counselors 24/7 on the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline that can help you work through any signs that you're experiencing or seeing or experiencing someone else or watching someone else to go through these things. So every state has 988 as the new lifeline. And the previous number, which is still active and there for you, is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255, 7:39 on the Mornings with Ed Show.